Welcome to the Complete Cobblers Podcast.
Okay, welcome to episode 5-5-1, 5-5-1 in, John, what do you reckon?
Yeah, it's looking good. Figures are creeping up nicely.
Yeah, we're really good. And people comment in. It was nice to get an email in from an old school friend. I bet you haven't heard from him in quite a long while.
I think
Matt Shafransky.
Yeah, 40 years, I would imagine. As soon as you said the name, I remembered Marion, yeah.
Yeah, so that was nice. Thanks for sending that in, and we'll endeavour. He said, keep doing some school stories, so yeah, we will do. Okay, right. Any particular subject tick you?
Right, then, I think tonight we should start with... Shall I start off with the Arnstead Moor service area?
Oh, yeah.
This goes back to one of my first jobs after...
After Milton Keynes.
Milton Keynes. I got transferred from Milton Keynes.
But not to Arnstead.
Yeah, to Arnstead.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, you were further south.
Huh? No.
Oh, well, yeah. Arnstead Moor services. That's where you roped me into a game of football between service stations.
Yeah.
And you rung me up. Oh, you play football. Yeah. And then, but you didn't tell me that you'd got 10 other people who'd never seen a football and never played with a biggest set and umpteen, lost something like 27-0. And you ran around for 5 minutes and then disappeared and went to the bar.
Yeah,
and I was like foaming when I come off of that pitch.
No way. No high blood pressure. No.
Yeah, not like me at all. Oh, dear.
So, yeah, no, I got a transfer. I wanted to come back up north, so I asked for a transfer. There were a spot for a catering manager at Arnstead Moor, so I moved up there, started off as a catering manager, and then I became like manager and for shift managers. And one day we had this, there were eastbound and westbound at Arnstead Moor, and it was westbound we were going, and there was this coach, so they must have been on the way back, and we used to get a lot of football fans in on the sat.
Yeah.
And this coach pulls in, and then they were the days when we had police escorts and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
The football fans. So I get a phone call up in one of the cafes from shop, and there's basically all these football fans in from somewhere on West Coast, and they're all robbing. They're all like shoving teddy bears, this and that. So me, like straight into it. So I went down, grabbed keys, locked both doors to the shop, and said, right, you lot, you're all locked in. Nobody's getting out till you put everything back. And there's this scouse bloke goes, and I'll try and do an accent initially. Here, Rick. You can't keep us in. And then one of them started going, I'm never going to give you up, never going to let you know. And I did have a passing resemblance to Rick Astley at the time. So I'm getting more and more embarrassed, and there's about 30 Liverpool fans with teddy bears stuck out of their T-shirts and stuff, all dancing, singing, never going to give you up. So then I says, right, this is the deal. I open the door, you put the teddies back, get on your coach and do one. Oh dear.
Well, you did eventually say you would tell us that story from episode one.
Oh, yeah. Well, there we go.
You started the Rickrolling phenomenon.
Yeah, that was it.
Right. Okay, so shall I pick one?
Yeah.
Okay, so Tencourt's Terrace. So just to explain to people, that's a house we rented before we did the famous flip to Milton Keynes.
I think we got the house on your auntie's recommendation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because she rented, well, and my dad rented one off of them as well.
Yeah.
Patchett, yeah. But it was quite, it was only like a mile out of Bradford, wasn't it? It was quite near town. So young lads with an house, most weekends. People were always coming and crashing at our place. And I can remember being out this, me and you out this particular nightclub, late home, whatever. Just me and you rocks up. Oh, we're like, you know, like on Home Alone where he fakes the party and there's all, you can see all shadows and that.
Yeah.
We're like, what the fuck's going on here? There's music blaring out, all lights are on, there's about 30 people in the house. What? Door were locked. What? Open door and went in. And all his mates were in there and had acquired quite a lot of women along the way. And we're like, what's going on? And they'd been round back at house. Couldn't get in from big wooden door up front, weren't they?
Yeah.
Went round back. And, you know, the little window that were over at the sink?
Oh, yeah.
Side at back door. Had a little transom top opening.
Yeah.
So they decided Lyndon were thin enough to shove him if they could get that window open. So they got it. They were jamming that open somehow. And then they were shoving Lyndon through this window. But, you know, the little bits for the stay out.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently he was like, no, fucking stop. Like digging in. So then they opened the shed. Remember we had a shed?
Oh, yeah.
And they got a cricket bat out and smashed the stay arms off of it. And then threw him in, he landed in sink. And, you know, me working for a security firm, we had key in back door. Once you were in, you could open it.
yeah, that was there were many good things. Do you remember red and white tiles that we put on in?
Well, there were white tiles that you then painted the grout red with gloss, as yeah. I remember.
Yeah, that was before you could get coloured gloss. And I'd seen everybody was selling red and white. What's it, weren't they? Red and white kitchen utensils. In my wisdom, I thought, well, we could have red and white tiles. So we did.
Yeah.
But we used gloss. Well, I used gloss. Yeah, I can't say
we. We were ahead of us. I think they built changing rooms and programs like that because they'd heard about us.
I mean, we started off building a swimming pool in backyard, I think. One day I decided we were going to build a swimming pool. There's quite a lot of soil has to come out to build a swimming pool.
It does. Yeah, so anyway, that was just an average Saturday.
Yeah. Jehovah's Witnesses next door, but
I reckon. Because that used to be, when I was a kid and lived there, that was what you'd call spare ground, land. And Jehovah's Witnesses got it and built a Kingdom Hall on it, didn't they?
Mm.
And they'd come knocking on the door every Sunday after worship or whatever they do, which was really annoying because we wouldn't like get in till 3 or 4 in the morning and then they'd be praying on the door. So I seem to remember you giving them some choice words several times to to leave and don't come back, which they ignored. Just another stupid couple would come next week, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But then you managed to put an end to it one week.
quite
similar to the 80s bouncy stuff.
Yeah, that old brush handle that I had. Yeah, it came in handy, did that.
Yeah. Could have mistaken it for a weapon, I suppose.
Well, I don't think they came again, did they?
No, that was the end of being bothered by the JWs. Yeah, and then not long after, well, we're on that then, we might as well, I can put one back here. Panther in car security.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I think, as we told people when we set off for Milton Keynes, we were between jobs, shall we say. And in our wisdom at one point, we decided to be the next Alan Sugar and all that, and we were going to set up in business. So Panther in car security and audio and security, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Because people then, very often you got a car, it didn't have a radio in it, did you? Got your radio separate. Or...
And I'd fitted one in a car once.
Qualified.
Qualified. And you fit house alarms in.
Yeah, so 12 volts, whatever. Yeah. And I think, well, that purple van, did you get that off your dad?
Yeah, it was my dad's old Richmond Tire Services van, I do believe, yeah.
And so we got this stuff, I'm pretty certain they call it Velbix. It's like basically the sticky back plastic.
Yeah.
And we made it, cut it to the exact size of the panel on the back of the van. And I painstakingly spent hours and made a design and drew a panther. And the word panther fit inside the physical shape of the panther.
It was very artistic.
And so like the P with its front legs and the R with its back legs and da-da-da. And it looked quite good. We were quite chuffed with it. But at the end of the day, it was sticky back plastic. And then one evening, my cousin on his way home past the house from the pub.
Blatant vandalism.
Drew an appendage on the panthers.
Which
was irremovable. We didn't look quite as professional from that day on.
And, you know, I don't think it was proportionate to the size of a panther, to be fair. I'm sure it would have been dragging on the floor if... the said panther had ever got excited with the said appendage. Joe had a lot to answer for. He brought us down there. But then, do you remember we bought the window etching kit as well? The sandblasting.
It
cost a lot of money, that. Yeah. Hundreds of pounds on it.
And people would have the window security etched.
And we'd like... That mill. Ashley Mills, were it?
Yeah.
Ashley Mills, and like... Put out little plastic things on and then edge the windows.
Yeah, so we did that. And then, do you remember all Bradford taxi drivers getting beaten up?
Yep.
And they put out this thing in the local newspaper that they wanted people to come forward with a product. What can we do to help these taxi drivers? It were becoming an epidemic that they were getting all beaten up every weekend. So we came up with the idea of like a foot-operated panic alarm.
Yep.
And so... I like, kind of electronics wise, I was like, oh, it's fairly easy. If we can find some, get this micro switch, find somehow a kick panel that'll operate it. Big siren, 12 volt siren in the engine, and a little plastic adaptable box with a relay and a push button, and basically what they call a latching relay. When it went off, it wouldn't stop. until you press the button, so you have to pop the bonnet, know where it is to stop it, and it were extremely loud. And then of course you and your dad in particular came up with the idea of how to make the kick panel.
Yeah, well, just like a hinged metal, two metal plates, one bolted to carpet in the car and kick it and spring loaded off the mic switch.
It had like one bit of whatever kind of metal it was with several folds in it, had a natural spring to it.
Yeah.
So we did that, and then they said, "Oh, come forward with you." So we went down, and they loved it, didn't they? Yeah. Hackney Carriage Association and all that. So
you were on front page at TNA,
were you? We're on front page at TNA.
I don't know where I was. I don't know how you got on. I remember picturing it was laid out on front of a bonnet.
The bonnet of a taxi.
It wasn't all shown, were it? Because said
they wanted to keep
reasons.
Some bits secret and all that. Anyhow, so they authorised it. This is what we recommend to our members.
Yeah.
And for a few weeks there, it went crazy, didn't it? And so us being, now that I've been in a bit business a bit longer and I know that how important it is to have cash and not run out of cash and over trade, but then we just thought, reinvest. Oh, we're really busy. So we bought hundreds of sirens and loads of metal off your dad and loads of, we bought everything. The whole room in Coat Stories was stacked high. And basically what happened, we were that successful, our product were that good, people stopped beating taxi drivers up, and that's it, just stopped.
But then there was a little flaw, which is, if I remember that, the little plastic boxes that we put in were for inside use, really. In a house.
It would have socket box with a blanket plate.
And as far as I'm aware, socket boxes with blanket plates don't have a waterproof gasket on them.
All I could say is thank God we thought about putting an inline fuse in there.
And you know, when you could see masses of Bradford taxis all queuing with all the bonnets up, looking at each other and speaking in various languages, that had been our fault probably after a heavy downfall.
So maybe there were one or two reasons why we decided to go milk.
Yeah, it might have been. They only kept posters up for a while, didn't they? Never ordered another taxi in Bradford.
No, not for about 10 years. But yeah, so there was just a little period of time where we thought, oh yeah, we've made it.
But when we set up, we went and did what businessmen did. We went down into the hotel in mid-centre of Bradford and had coffees.
Oh yeah,
to set it up. What were it called? The hotel.
Midland.
Midland.
Midland. Yeah.
And then we had coffee and biscuits and stuff, and then we asked for a receipt and signed it off into our accounts.
We were on, that lasted long.
we were on job seekers allowance. Yeah. For 20 quid a week or something.
Like bloody boys from Blackstone.
And this is where we started our beginnings.
Let's go to Milton Keynes. Good idea. So yeah. Anyway, so that was that. shall we do some factoids?
Aye, go on then. Get it to whirl.
So your brain is constantly eating itself.
Really?
Yeah. I have no more explanation.
No other explanation. Just on a night, it's just sat there, like opening fridge door and taking a bit off its left.
I think some of us perhaps have hungrier brains than others.
The largest piece of fossilised dinosaur poo discovered is over 30 centimetres long and over 2 litres in volume.
A chicken once lived for 18 months without a head.
I bet it were running around like a...
I think I've seen this. I've seen it on QI. So it basically has nerves in the neck.
Right.
So it then became like a circus act. People came to see this headless chicken. I wonder if that's where the expression...
Yeah.
Running around like an headless chicken.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And what happened? Did fame go to its head then?
Thinking. Well, like, you know what I mean? You know, like that joke about the guy who sees a farmer and the guy looks over at Wall and he sees the pig's got wooden legs, two wooden legs. And so he says...
Is this your joke?
No, but it's just reminded me, maybe this is what happened to Chicky. So the guy says to him, mind me asking, so he sets up and tells him all these tales about how heroic this pig has been. So there was a house fire and the pig came in and it dragged somebody out by the collar and then there was a child drowning and pig were in and it saved him and all that. The guy went, all right, and so on each of these occasions he had lost a leg. And he goes... Well, no, but if the pig's that valuable, you don't eat him all at once.
So we're a bit like Lassie, this pig, then. Yeah. I know, it was Skippy, wasn't it, the kangaroo. Yeah. Right, there's skip. Been a murder opening. You're going to need some fire crew, some extending ladders. Mount Everest isn't the tallest mountain on Earth.
I can give you some extra information on this.
Is it the largest mountain underwater?
Correct. It's in Hawaii. So it's higher than Everest, but its tip is still underwater.
But it's still called a mountain?
Yeah, it's an underwater mountain, yeah.
That's a good fact, that. Please feel free to use it. Donations, if you put it to our unusual bank account.
Okay. Ants don't have lungs.
Oh, right. The T-Rex likely had feathers.
You think they're getting a bit confused? Oh, no, T-Rex, the singer, had feathers, didn't he?
Yeah, didn't he sing about riding a white swan, which had feathers?
Yeah. So I have to avoid...
Mac Boland.
Oak trees.
Yeah. I mean, there was a sick joke about that, which was at the same time as tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree, it was tie a little mini around an old oak, which is sick.
You're terrible. We never laughed at it.
No.
Horse normally has more than one horsepower.
Yeah. Lego bricks withstand compression better than concrete. Oh, yeah. I've stood on concrete. It don't hurt.
We've all stood on Lego, haven't we?
Yeah. We actually went to pick up a sofa bed the other night, and the lady said, oh, it's upstairs. My son's just clearing all his Lego out of the way so he can move it. And I was having flashbacks thinking, this is going to be painful. He's going to clear it all the way, apart from that 8-brick one we corner. But luckily, he's been a good lad and cleared it all the way. Why we needed the sofa bed, that's a different story.
Yes. We'll keep that for another episode.
Yeah.
So, have you got a joke for me this week, then?
I have got a joke for you this week.
I didn't know we were going to do a pig joke. That just came right.
No, that's... But... Yeah, so is that your joke?
We'll see how this one goes.
Yeah, we'll see how this one goes. Right. So, there's this Yorkshire bloke, and he's got a cat. And he's had this cat donkey's years, and it's starting to get a bit poorly. So he decides, it's a male cat, and he thinks, all right, I better take it to the vet. So I'll ring vet first, and then it rank vet, and he says, bring it round to surgery. So he's in waiting room, and then vet comes and says, can you come in? So he leaves the cat there, and this vet is just emigrated. He's from Sweden, but so he goes, hello. And the farmer goes, hey, up. And he goes, you are Mr. Rhodes.
Which country were he from?
Yeah, we'll forget that. I'll sing with, hello, are you the farmer? And he goes, yes, I'm the farmer. No, he says, I am the farmer. Yeah. He says, and your cat is poorly. And he goes, aye, it's not right. Well, he says, is it a Tom? He says, no, I brought it with me. That was a joke, by the way.
Maybe I will come back with a joke after that. I think I do better when they're just quite short, sharp ones, mate.
Yeah. I've seen the scores, though. I think I think I get more value from.
Yeah. It unwinds itself.
Okay, well, I'll try another one. I'll try another one. Did you hear about the explosion in France in the cheese factory?
No.
All that was left was debris.
You just got a lot of cheese jokes.
No, because my niece, Maria, she likes cheese jokes. And we had a while where between us we were passing each other cheese jokes.
Right, it's all becoming clear to me now. All right, I'll just do one very quick one in response to you then.
Right.
So, why is it that you never get a pregnant Barbie doll?
I don't know. Why do you never get a pregnant Barbie?
Because Ken came in a different box. And on that note, shall we bring to the end? Oh, wait a minute.
Speechless.
Okay, so on that note, it's good night from me.
And it's good night from me. Thank you all for listening.
Okay, so just a note to finish off this episode. Really, a kind of trailer for the next thing that's coming up on Complete Cobblers. So we've been wanting to deal with a few slightly more serious things for a while, in particular John's health, and that's coming up next. But we've decided that the Complete Cobblers episodes will always be the same usual having a laugh bit of banter episodes, and now and again when we do something completely different, we'll release it on a different day of the week. So this one will be released on Friday this week, and we won't give it the Complete Cobblers number. We'll just give it a title of its own, and the episode coming up next will be called Dying for a Drink. So don't listen in without thinking about it. Don't, be prepared. It's quite a serious listen. So if you're on your way to work and you're thinking, oh, I'll have a listen to Complete Cobblers, cheer me up, that's fine. Listen to a normal episode. But get prepared for the episode entitled Time for a Drink coming up. Yeah.
You've been listening to the Complete Cobblers podcast. Get involved. Leave us a voice note on Messenger or Instagram, or via the website, CompleteCobblers.com.